Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Gordon Baker Brown, episode 222. What's up,
bro? Yeah, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man.
How you been?
Chilling. So we met at the Stress Factory. You've been the host the first dozen or so times I've been there.
Yeah.
Less so as of late.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on? Are you just...
Transitioning from, like, I've always perform wherever I can, but, like, I've been focusing more on being more in the city. I moved back to my hometown in Newark, so I'm just closer to the city, and I don't know, I just really want to cement myself in New York.
Yeah.
That's mainly what it is. It's just like, yeah, Jersey's fun, but after a while you just get, bored, and you want to grow as an artist, and the only place to do that is apparently in my backyard of New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You taking the PATH train in?
Take the PATH train in.
If you swap out at Journal Square?
I go all the way to World Trade Center because they opened up the Oculus, and so I take the train straight in. It's only about like 15 minutes from Penn Station to World Trade. So, yeah, I do that, and then I get wherever I need to go. Usually hopping on the E or the 1, 2, or the 3. Same old shit.
Now, I was at your spot because I went to Brian St. John's 30th birthday party.
Yeah.
He's your home dog. Yeah. You guys live together.
Yeah.
Now, you guys just started living together.
Uh-huh.
You're like a month or 6 weeks in, right?
Yeah.
Does he do the fucking dishes around the house? Like, are you guys having squabbles?
No squabbles. We got a dishwasher, so it's really not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So we just get the dishes done, and we go at it, man. Like, it's no problems.
You don't have a chore chart or anything like that?
Nah. Well, we got one on the wall. Like, our main rule is just don't come in the sink. So, other than that, it's pretty gay. Pretty great.
That's the rules on the wall?
That's the rules on the wall. Don't come in the sink.
Uh-huh.
Trash goes out on Wednesdays.
That's it.
Yeah.
Do you both share responsibility for those tasks?
It's three of us. It's my homeboy Cliff and it's Brian St. John. So I don't know. We're just a bunch of dudes that just live with each other. Like, we pretty much just do our shit. Like, it's not that hard to live with somebody. Like,
yeah.
In the past, like, I moved in with strangers before, but it's like, this is more chill because I know everybody.
Yeah. I'm living with my dad until September. I'm going to move to New Brunswick, you know?
Okay.
And, boy, is it tough.
What's tough about living with your dad?
He's very manipulative.
Oh.
He doesn't feel like a full person unless he's telling somebody what to do, and he never reads. So that's fucking great.
Okay. So no reading and...
full of advice and junk food.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like when you eat junk food all the time, and you're like, you know, down to give everybody advice... and you're like a shit for listener, you know. That's a toxic combination.
Definitely.
Sorry about my fucking miserable life, but I spent like 13 grand, honestly, like shooting my own stand-up special.
Okay.
You know, so it put me back in my pop's house for 11 months, and boy, I was talking to my sister about it, and I was like, you know, me and my pops drew up leases. Like, what do we expect from each other? This and that. And he was like, "Oh, you want a lease? You want a lease?" So he writes that I would have to pay him $400 a month, and then he would give it back to me if he so chose, if I was a good son or whatever. And you know, I'm like, you know, so I wrote my lease up. Like, our original thing was I got to stay there until September 1st, and that was it. No strings, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what the rules were at first, you know? And my sister was like, you know, you don't really have to pay him $400 a month, but it's going to be like $400 a month in emotional abuse. And he's not going to be a dime short ever. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's what you signed up for. He's like, my sister's like, I wouldn't have done that shit. I'm like, I'm trying to be an artist, Emily. She's yeah, good luck with all that shit.
Emily sounds like she got a good head on her shoulders.
Oh, yeah, she's got kids. She's smarter than everybody. She reads a lot of books and shit. So, like, you know, my sister, like, she'll give me 1/100th of the advice that my dad gives me, but I listen to every goddamn word she says. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
When someone doesn't give you advice all the time, then you tend to listen to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, but if they're, like, constantly criticizing everything, it's like... This is wore out.
A pain in the ass.
It's like a lady who like uses one of those like diesel vibrators.
Yeah.
It's just like fucking uppercutting her fucking cunt all the time. And then your fucking dumb dick ain't gonna do shit.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's already, I'm just desensitized.
Okay.
You know, to any of that. Anyway. How are you balancing stand up with your day job? I guess is my big question, Gordon.
Stand up comes first.
You got two jobs.
Yeah. Stand up comes first. Do that shit.
Cashing up.
Yeah.
Look at this cocksucker.
Hey. Yeah. I don't know. I just get it done. Stand up always comes first. Like, it's not even like a full time job. It's more of a part time job. Just so I won't be bored in the house.
Yeah. You writing all the time? What's your writing process? Do you listen to your sets and then go back, or do you?
Yeah, I listen to all my sets. I record everything and I listen back to it. I come up with ideas that I think are funny for later on, and I just use life as an example. So I just live and then write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever sticks, whatever don't, I work on until like I get tired of it, and after that, you know.
What girl, is there any girl that like ran a train through your life, like broke everything up, you know what I mean? Like,
I wouldn't say a train. I went through a bad breakup a couple years ago, but it wasn't, I wouldn't say a train. It was a toxic relationship, and I didn't realize that.
Well, how so?
Like, it was very one-sided emotionally, and when you, like, I'm the type of dude that, like, I'm a giver, so... Mm. If you tell me something's wrong, I'm going to do whatever it takes to fix it. Mm-hmm. So, because of that, like, I don't know. I guess she peeped the pattern and it went from there. Like, they realized, like, all right, whatever I got to do to keep them.
So you're like, oh, this is broke. Let me fix this. Yeah. Right? So, can I show you this? This is a book called The Human Magnet Syndrome by Ross Rosenberg.
Okay.
He's a psychologist. Now, look at page 30 here.
Okay.
All right, so there's, you've heard of a narcissist before.
Yeah.
Right? So a full narcissist is on this side of the equation.
Gotcha.
Then someone who's a codependent is another word for they think about other people.
Okay.
So they're people that are stimulated by being of service to others. They get dopamine, like if I... You know, for example, I was the same way.
Yeah.
Like, I cook a meal for my girlfriend. Dopamine, serotonin rushing in my brain because I'm like, look at what I'm doing for you. Okay. I feel good about myself for hooking you up with this stuff. Other people are like a black hole.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they are only geared to themselves. So they're like, oh, yeah, dinner's whatever. Anyway, here's about my day without giving any appreciation whatsoever for what anybody's doing for them, right?
True.
So this book gets into how codependent people need the narcissist.
Yeah.
Because it's like a dom sub relationship.
True.
There's the master and then there's the sub, right?
Yeah.
So they're attracted to each other, right?
True.
But then the codependent is always feels emotionally manipulated and taken advantage of by the narcissist.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So this, the codependent's pouring energy, trying to get love, respect, care back.
Yeah.
Not getting it.
Okay.
Right? Because this narcissist is only cared about them damn selves all the time.
True.
And they emotionally manipulate people to get what they want because they're too lazy to do anything. Because they think that they're King Tut, that they should be served.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, this book also gets into if your parents were like that. Let's say your mom's a codependent or your dad's a codependent, your mom or dad is the narcissist, then this is your model.
Okay.
So then when you start to go into relationships, right, you just repeat what you know. Yeah. Is any of this ringing a bell for you?
A little bit. Kind of familiar with that idea. But, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
So what I've done, like, I've had full narcissist girlfriends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after I get out of the relationship, I'm like, instead of pouring all this goddamn energy into this useless, vacuous hoe who doesn't feel right about themselves,
okay,
unless she's bossing me around, maybe I've spent all that fucking energy in comedy.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a good place to devote your energy and your time.
Is that what squared you, set your sails to New York City?
No. I always wanted to be in the city as an artist. It wasn't the relationship. I was already working in the city. I was doing multiple rooms. I just focused more of my time to stand up after the relationship. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's Comedy's always been the one thing I could rely on to keep me balanced, and that was my goal, was to make sure I stayed balanced through comedy.
How is it, do you feel, you know, at a disadvantage without having credits? Are you going up against people who have more clout than you? How are you, how are you, I don't know, what's your mindset when you go into these rooms in Manhattan?
Just go in and do your thing. Like, I don't think credits really make you a better comic. I think a lot of people feel that way. They feel like you need to have a certain thing to achieve a clout, so to speak, or get respect. And it's really, really not like that. It's a bunch of people that got Conan that are trash. There's a bunch of people on Netflix that are garbage. But, you know,
yeah,
people want to see that. It's not for me. It doesn't change the fact that other people want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, nah, clout, like, all that clout shit, that shit can go out the window. Because, like, if you're not funny, you're not funny. And a lot of people really aren't funny. They just got people backing them, you know?
Mm.
So, that's my whole stance on it.
Are you worried that, like, if you got a big break, you know, there's that saying that, like, you know, it's tough to wake up at 6 in the morning and go running, like, as a boxer, you know, when you're waking up in silk sheets?
No. Because, like, the one thing that I enjoy the most is stand-up comedy. And it to feel like I don't want to write anymore, to feel like I don't want to go do open mics anymore, that's like such a foreign idea. It would have to, something drastic would have to happen. Because, like, if you want to stop doing stand-up, you really weren't in love with stand-up in general. That's my thing. I fell in love with stand-up comedy a long time ago, and, like, I haven't fallen out of love yet with it, so knock on wood. Shit's amazing, man.
Have you been having other romantic relationships while you're pursuing, or have you put that off?
Yeah, you have to. You gotta... I feel like too many people go full-on comedy, and that ruins... That rots the brain. It's you gotta have a nice little balance. You gotta have something that gets you out of your element and also push you back into the thing that you love naturally. So, like, yeah, I still date. I still try seeking relationships. But, you know, stand up is like the first true love.
How old were you when you started doing stand up?
I was 21. 21? I was 21 when I first started.
What were you doing? Were you in college? Were
I was in college.
At Rutgers?
Nah. I went to what is the name of that goddamn school?
I don't remember the college you went to?
No, because I transferred a lot. Because, like, if I didn't like a certain place, that's the one thing about me. If I don't like a certain place, I'll just leave and go somewhere else that I feel like I could achieve something better, or it's more convenient or conducive to my life. I went to Caldwell College, and then I got asked to do a public speaking course as part of, like, the core curriculum, like one of those. It wasn't an elective, it was just like something that you had to take. It was part of the syllabus or curriculum, whatever the fuck that shit is. So I went and did public speaking. I hated going. It was at like 8 o'clock in the morning. The dude, so I hated being there, but he also thought I was funny. I never thought of doing stand-up comedy. I thought it was the scariest thing you could possibly fucking do. So, dude goes, if you never want to come back here again, promise me you'll go do a comedy open mic, and I'll give you an A, and you ain't got to come back. And I was like, that's easy. So, went and did an open mic, and I fell in love with the shit. Yeah.
Do you remember what you had to do, some kind of speech, and you were just, like, funny at it, and he just saw something?
Yeah. Like, it was probably the third class, and, like, they were asking us to, like, do a speech about someone that we looked up to, and, like, at the time, I didn't know what riffing was, but I could just come up with, like, something to say and just kill for time, and he found it funny. Some people in the class found it funny, and then it grew from there. Yeah.
Do you, I like drinking booze. You know what I'm saying? It makes me feel good.
Yeah, gotcha.
Do you got any substance abuse problems?
Nah, not really. It's only a problem if I don't have it.
Word? Yo, take a beer, bud. Anything you want. You want the Zwietek from Poland? You want Miller Lite? Go for it.
All right. I'm not a beer guy, mostly. I do mostly like hard liquor, but when in Rome.
You know, that's what I got right now.
Yeah. But yeah, I drink. I don't like weed. I've done shrooms like 3 times. Like, I'm not a big drug guy. That's what I realized about myself. I don't even like take any shit for like headaches.
Yeah.
I just chill. I'm just a party guy myself.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
I a bread solo cup and a good time. That's
you like going to house parties and cutting it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the lifestyle I live.
That's kind of why I want to move to New Brunswick, only because, like, you know, I lived in New Orleans for 3 years, and I kind of like that college town where, like, when all the kids come back for the fall every year, the town blows up. Everyone's out. Everyone's partying. There's hot girls around. Then it kind of shrinks down again in the summer. Yeah. Then it blows up again in the fall. So it's like there's seasons for cutting up. You know what I mean? And plus I like Chinese food and pizza, and that's everywhere. So, you know what I'm saying? I like a college town. Okay. I would love to. My plan was to move to Journal Square for September, but I don't think I could afford it, you know?
Okay.
So maybe for a year, I just got to, like, lay low in
there's nothing wrong with that.
New Brunswick. But I like that town, right?
Yeah.
It's closer to Manhattan, too. If I get those kind of opportunities, I can sneak in there on the NJ Transit, you know? But, yeah, I don't know. Now, when you say balance with your life, right?
Yeah.
Are you saying that if you're only pursuing comedy all the time, you're like a joke robot, and you're not speaking from the soul?
Yeah,
you gotta like do even like dangerous shit sometimes just to have something to talk about.
Not dangerous shit, just like go live a life, like like go hang out with your friends, just talk with your friends about like, especially if they're comedians. Talk, like, get out of that comedy mindset all the time. Like, yeah, I get it. You want to make it. Yeah, I get it. You want to get better. But, like, when do you just be you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point, shit gets tiresome. And, like, I see dudes that just, they burn out because they're doing a mic every single day. And they're like, I got it. I got to do it. And just, I have the white. Just like, yo, dude, go take a walk. Go to a barbecue. Have a party. Like,
have your own thoughts.
Yeah, like, I get so tired of seeing comics, like, almost every day. Like, a lot of them are friends and shit, but, like, if I had to do an open mic every single day, if I had to do a show every single day, it would put me in a whole different world. And, like, I guess it might work for some people, but to me, it's lame. That's just me.
I had I went to Eugene Land College, a new school for liberal arts. I was studying creative writing for undergrad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this one teacher. She was from Turkey. Her name is Zeeshan Ersalug. Go look her up on fucking newschool.edu. Zeeshan Ersalug, right?
Okay.
So she gets everybody together one day and she goes, "You have to fuck each other." Like, she was mad.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, "You got to fuck, eat the pussy. Suck the dicks, eat the assholes."
Yeah.
"What, you going to play fucking Romeo and Juliet? What will you tell this audience if you do not know how to love and lose?
Yeah.
If you do not love and lose, your body is your tool. You are an instrument of your experience. Eat the fucking pussy.
Yeah.
Fuck each other tonight."
She sounds,
what are you doing?
She sounds like a smart lady.
I started crying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like,
that got you to cry?
I was like, man, because it was like she was so fucking real about it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh shit, like some of these teachers are going to tell you the truth once. You know, they're not going to like just like go, "Hey, let's look at page 46 and this is the homework assignment."
Yeah.
Like, bitch was just telling you, like, to fuck, right?
Yeah. I think she was telling you a little bit more than that, but
yeah. No, but for real. She was saying what you're saying about, like, yo, what are you going to do on stage if you don't.
Fucking
if you're
live.
Not a person.
Yeah. Nobody wants, like, you can go on Google for jokes. You can ask Alexa to tell you a joke. Like, why the fuck should I be listening to you if you haven't done anything?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, maybe I got a skewed view of the world, but fuck. You gotta shake shit up. One of my favorite sayings, nothing changes if nothing changes. And it's just like, it used to be something that I used to get mad at, because I thought change was a bad thing. I thought stepping out of your everyday life or your regular routine was admission to failure, and it's not. It's growth. And if you're not growing, you're not gonna get stronger in anything. So.
Yeah. So it's like you gotta raise your like emotional vibration and not just your fucking act.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't just be like a fucking joke jukebox. You gotta tell these people from the soul.
Yo, I got so tired of seeing comics do the same jokes at open mics.
Oh.
All the same fucking time. It's just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, yeah. If you ain't got this 5 minutes down right now, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Yo, and I saw that, you know, with some permanent locals over there in New Orleans, you know what I mean? I don't want to name names, but some people, like, the whole 3 years I lived there did the same fucking jokes, yeah. Went to the same rooms, and then booked the same people at their rooms. Uh-huh. And it's like, okay, what is this? Are you a residual ghost? Like, you know that thing that they say about residual ghosts? Like, you know, some ghosts are, like freaked out because they were, like, a Civil War soldier, right? Yeah. And then they saw so much trauma, and then they were shot in the head, right? And so the same ghost goes the same time at the same time of year. They're going, oh, they killed my grandbabies. They killed my grandbabies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, what are you, a comic or an artist or a residual ghost just talking about the same shit for fucking 3 years? You dumb cunt. Anyway, okay. Whoops. Okay. What?
I don't even
Who
know.
Who said that?
I guess it was you.
No, he said the same jokes for 3 years.
Okay.
And then he's like a dick to me all the time. All right? So fuck that guy. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know, I saw. Well, you don't think I watched you do the same jokes every fucking night for 3 fucking years?
Oh, wow.
You dick. You know what I mean? And then douche out open micers constantly. One thing that, you know, it's like, it's one thing if you're mean to me. But if you're mean to open micers that, like, are trying out their second set.
Yeah.
It's like, that's when you really see who's a nice person and who's a bad person.
True.
Like, you know, whenever I see, like, new people doing the same act, and sometimes at the Stress Factory, because I go there every fucking week, you know, people are like, oh, well, can you watch my set? Can you do this? I'm always nice to that person.
Okay.
Because it's like, that's their first experience. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've seen super rude to that fucking person. And fuck them.
Again.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Hey.
He's a dick. So fuck him. You know what I mean? That's not cool. To me, that's not cool. And you know what I mean? So there's that. So.
Well, you know better than I do. So.
No, trust me, you don't want it.
Okay.
Well, you might be blown away the first time you see him. Then the second time you see him, you go, oh, okay, I've already seen this magic trick.
Yeah.
Then the 40th time you see him, you go, oh, okay, I think he's a lazy hack. You know what I mean? You'd be right about that. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of people out there like that, man.
And it's like, you know, if you don't move around, like, you move around, you go to a semester of college, and you're like, nah, this ain't for me, and you're out. You know what I mean? You don't gotta be mean to nobody. You don't gotta do nothing. You just fill out the other application and move on.
It takes so much more energy to be mean.
For real. And it might seem like I'm mean. No. I'm a white blood cell. You know what I mean? Okay. If I see a virus out in the society, I might say some shit.
Okay.
So, Gordon, what comics do you hate? What comics do you see doing the same shit all the time?
Just look around, man. It's a bunch of them.
Name names, bud.
I don't even see him anymore.
Is there any top comic that, like, made it to a high level that did the same jokes for 10 years? Mitch Patel. Is there anyone like that?
Mitch Patel. Who's that?
Exactly.
Okay. I don't know. Like, here's the thing. Like, I don't see a lot of comics. Like, the comics that I'm around, they don't do that. And I guess that's why. I think that's what made me happier, too. Like, I got away from comics I didn't want more. And, you know, it's like, a lot of my comedy peers either stopped or they just didn't grow. And it's nothing against them. It's just like,
my nigga, you get addicted to killing, right? So you kind of like, there's two sides of comedy, I'd say.
Yeah.
There's preparing. Like, I'm more of a codependent. Like, I like to prepare and then serve up a fine meal with fresh ingredients to my lover, which is the audience, right? True. Some people just, they want the attention.
Yeah.
Those are two very different impulses, to be of service and to get attention.
Yeah.
You're getting something, but at the same time, you're giving something. And people forget that they got to give and they only want to take the attention, you know?
That's true.
And so what with these people I'm talking about, person I've mentioned, there's other names that are going to come later in the book and shit. Okay. But but what I will say is it's like some people you go, oh, they only want attention. They want a good, and they don't want to risk bombing.
Okay.
Like I risk bombing constantly. You know what I mean? Because I'm always trying new stuff.
Yeah.
But that's how I grow, you know? But yeah, I mean, it sucks to fucking bomb, you know?
I mean, it doesn't have to.
What do you mean?
Like,
you bomb graceful?
It's not even about gracefully. It's just like, if I look at it as a plane crashing, if like, if I'm piloting this plane and it's crashing, the fuck am I trying to make it look good for? Like, why am I going to fight it? Just, like, fuck it. We're going to do some tricks as we go down into the earth. We're going to watch me barrel roll this bitch. Like,
you're going to start spinning.
Spinning, and we're going to try for a loop. Like, nigga, like, if it's going bad, fuck being graceful, have fun.
Right. So, like, both the engines stalled out, yep. Right? But you still got the controls.
Yeah.
You're spinning that bitch around?
Spinning it around. I'm going to aim for something. Like, all right, let's see what these trees look like at 600 miles per hour. Let's go.
Yeah. Do you remember, like, what was the worst bombing you ever, like, when in the early days, in the first 2 years? Like, any, like, bombings that you remember?
All of them. They all were, like, I used to take it bad, and after a while, I was just like, who gives a shit? Who gives a fuck? Like,
yeah.
I used to speed through my sets, and I like, cause I was so eager to get the jokes out. Like I didn't give the crowd a chance to like rest and relax. It was just bang, bang, bang. And after a while, you just go fuck it. It's either you gonna deal with me or you're not. If you don't like me, you don't like me. It was whatever. But I still got time up here, so I'm gonna do me.
Yeah, so, like, that's the same mistake I would make. I would be like, I didn't get him yet. Let me get him with this. It's like, yo, slow down. Because if you're speeding through, it shows a lack of confidence.
True.
You know, if you're like, hey, no, let me take the slow boat around this, you know, cliffside.
Yeah.
Then you're an experienced captain.
Yeah.
If you're like, let me even zip through this bitch.
Even if you're experienced, like, you're still going to crash and burn, bro. Yeah. It's going to happen. If you don't bomb, you're not trying. That's my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any comedian's career that you emulate where you're like, oh, this comic did most of the things right. Let me try to repeat what they're doing.
Nah.
Business-wise, you'd look at their business decisions.
Nah. Because the one thing I like about comedy and, like, I like watching people get jealous or think that's the way it's done, and there's no fucking blueprint for stand-up comedy. My boy got a writing job for HBO off of his Twitter, and everybody's just like, how does that happen? Then everybody started jumping on Twitter thinking they gonna get a writing job.
Right.
Nope. Then everybody was like, oh, well, you get big if you do comedy. Motherfuckers have done comedy now and it's nothing. It's like, I like watching other comics try to emulate other people when they think that's the way to go, because those are the ones that aren't going to make it. But it's fun to see them go, well, they did that, and I'm going to do that next. And you're just like, good luck. Stop trying to walk in other people's footsteps. Just
yeah,
fucking...
So you think that when someone... gets through the golden gates of show business, that it's almost like that.
Yeah, what's the golden gates?
Well, it's like that opportunity closes behind them because that path has been tread.
I don't think it closes behind them. I get, you know what? I do in a way, because you're not that person. That's the one thing that I think most people need to realize. You're not that comic. You're not the comic that did it that way. You're your own person with your whole different type of crowd, your whole different type of voice, hopefully. But if you want to emulate other people and you think that's the right way of doing it, good luck to you, bro.
Yeah.
It's like trying to squeeze through the turnstile with another person. It's not going to work, bro. Go get your own money. Go get your own Metro card.
Yeah.
And you go through on your way, on your own merit, and the way you want to do it. The biggest thing I want to do right now, like, I don't think I even want to do late night. If, like, it got presented to me, I'm like, all right, cool. But other than that, I think more often, I would much rather do the Breakfast Club. I would much rather be on Joe Button's podcast. I'd much rather do Guys Be Fucked again. I'd much rather be on Legion of Skanks. I would grow a bigger and better audience that way because, like, number one, I'm a filthy fucking mouth person. Like, I don't want to be on stage and forced to be clean. And first of all, I don't like clean comedy. I think clean comedy is a coward's way out. You say fuck, you fuck like everybody else. I'm supposed to clean up my act because you can't handle hearing an adult talk like an adult. Good for you. You can go fuck yourself. And, like, I don't want to be on a late night spot doing clean jokes and then, like, say I get to clubs and whatnot and somebody in Idaho sees me and, like, I'm going to go check them out. And then you come down there and I'm talking the way I talk. Mm. And you just be like, oh, I didn't expect this. And, like, because that wasn't me. Mm.
I don't know if it was John Mulaney or if it was someone like this, but somebody did a Conan set.
Yeah.
And they bombed so fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they did it. It was, like, squeaky clean material. Yeah. And I remember thinking, like, oh, I wonder if he does this in the clubs. Nope. Like, I wonder if he does this material in the club. But it was just, like, he literally said, like, one of his jokes. I got to find this clip and play it right here. But he was like, man, I love tacos. I find Taco Tuesdays. I try to eat as many tacos as possible. I just love tacos. And it was like, he was, like, waiting for the laugh. And it was like, are you out of your fucking mind right now?
Yeah.
Like, you like tacos?
Yeah, but, like, that's
what?
Again, somewhere in the world, somebody's probably stomping on their feet going, this man's a genius.
Nah, he bombed in the crowd in front of him. And then I think about Zeeshan Ursalug at the New School going, eat the pussy. You know, suck the asshole.
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck are you doing right now? It's like, that's motivational shit, you know?
I like that you're motivated by this lady. And, like, specifically this overly sexual lady.
Yeah, she was the artistic director of the MoMA for a while, or the...
I bet she whatever. Was.
And when you see, like, where the actors sleep, like, it's just, like, bunk beds in, like, a hippie commune upstairs.
Okay.
Like, whatever play they're putting on, they just, like, put these, like, Turkish people in the attic, and they just, I guess, suck and fuck off, you know?
I guess.
But she's, like, a product of the 60s. Like, they were just doing LSD and doing experimental theater.
Okay.
Now, I love this lady, but I do have a... I didn't really... I don't want to talk so much shit on her, but I didn't really like the plays that she produced because they're very experimental, you know?
Okay.
And I think, like, you know, if you're doing experimental theater, like, okay, like a scientist, you know, he does experiments, and then, like, there's results. Like, what was your result? Like, when you wore the cheese suit and screamed at full volume, like, it was fucking annoying? Like, yeah. What fucking result are you talking about, you know? But, like, comedy, I feel like there's experiments. Like, I wonder if this is funny.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a fact that's funny now. It is like science, you know?
True.
But also, there's other environmental factors that are always hard. Like, you know, will this audience like this? Like, this audience loved this on this night, but this audience might hate this shit on this night, you know? It's always like a moving target.
Yeah.
Do you ever pander to the audience in front of you, or are you always, like, on your game plan?
What do you mean by pander?
Like, change your material? Like, do you always go in with, like, a set list? Like, I'm going to do this and this and this? And
no, then that doesn't... I change depending on who I'm in front of. Like, I'm tired of... I'm a black comedian, for those that don't know. And I pride myself with being able to go up in front of anybody. Like, when Pre-Dar was here, predominantly Indian crowd, I still hosted for him. And, like, I'm tired of saying white comics only going up in front of white comic... white crowds and calling themselves, like, good comics. I think Seinfeld sucks because all he does is white rooms. You've never seen Jerry Seinfeld out in front of a predominantly black room.
He never did Night at the Apollo, you're saying?
Oh yeah, like I don't count that. Like
he'd be like, "Where's my water fountain?"
I think a lot of comics limit themselves to believing that they only could go up in front of one certain type of crowd. And
yeah,
to me that's corny as hell. Like if you're Asian, you're only supposed to go up in front of Asians? No.
Yeah.
Like,
to me, I think it's weird that someone like Seinfeld doesn't, like, grant three comics $1 million each every year. It's like,
what?
That would hurt to support, to, like, big up the next generation.
Nah.
He's just a sociopath. Like, I saw him, like, you know, someone was asking him about comics, and Seinfeld went off about Mark Norman.
Who is the best young, up-and-coming comic that we should keep our eyes on?
There's a young guy out there named Mark Norman who has not broken yet, but is, I have met and I have talked to, and the guys I look for are the hardcore crazy guys. That when I talk to them about Buddy Hackett, they know who I'm talking about. Or Rickles, or they know the history, they know Klein, they know, you know, the heritage of the profession. And Mark Norman is one of those guys, so I like him. Keep an eye out for him. Yes.
How he's great and like how he loves him and all this stuff. Yeah. It's like, okay, he's not been given his due. Yeah. All right, give him his due. Give him $1 million tomorrow. Are you out of your mind?
No, man. Like, for what? Just
when you just have $30 billion.
So the fuck what? That don't mean you just gotta get handed out just because we do the same occupation. Fuck out of here. Let Mark earn his shit. Like we don't need handouts. If you want to do something, you will find a way to do it. That is ultimately what it is. If you want to do this, stop waiting for somebody to pat you on the back. It's cool that Seinfeld said Mark Norman's name. And yeah, Mark Norman, if you didn't know who Mark Norman was before Seinfeld, like, you're probably a fair-weather comedy fan. But whatever. You do what you got to do. If you really like comedy, you'll go find comics that you want to hear. Point blank. Like, don't, like, financially, yeah, I'd take $1 million from Seinfeld, but I would want to take that million and be like, yo, fuck you, by the way. Because honestly, he's just a cornball. It's just so many great comics out there, and I'm happy he gave Mark Norman his due, but it's just like, getting back to what I was saying, like, he just sticks to the white crowds. And like, I think, if you're going to be a great comic, no matter where I put you on God's green earth, you better be able to make them laugh.
We're wrapping up. I just want to say thanks to Gordon Baker Brown. I'll be performing Thursday, July 25th at the Old Glory in Keyport, New Jersey with my homeboy Waldo Maldonado, who did the podcast a couple goes ago. Gordon, any plugs or...
Yeah, you could download my album on Spotify, iTunes, Tidal. Name of the album is Nobody Just Me, Gordon Baker Bone. Nobody Just Me. Definitely stream it. Buy it if you like. Also, I run the Culture Vulture Comedy Show up in Jersey City at FM Bar and Lounge with Ariel Liedi, the Cuban Conundrum. So definitely come check me out.
What days is that?
It's on Tuesdays.
Every Tuesday?
Not every Tuesday. It's a monthly on Tuesday. Next one's August 28th.
Dope. Is that an open mic or book show?
It's a book show.
Nice. Yeah. So Jersey City is popping off. Anyway, I think that's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucker bag.
Yep. Also, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Baker Bone.
Gordon Baker Brown. Did I say your name right? Did I say Gordon Baker Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Don't worry about it. It's all good.
You know, I got the Baker, right?
Yep.
anyway, Smoke Pop Worship Aliens. Later, motherfuckers.
Cool.